Hey, Pathway, welcome to our Sunday online experience, and I'm excited to have you here, and there's just some things that I want to share from my heart, basically centered around how to have the blessed year ever, the most blessed year ever, a better year. You know, 2025 is coming to an end, obviously. We're about to ring in the new year, 2026, and I really just have this question, and this question I'd love to ask you is, what's going to make 2026 better than 2025? I wouldn't say what's going to make it different, but truth, let's just be honest. We all want it to be better. Like, no one enters in a year like, I hope this year is worse than last year. Like, that'd be a ridiculous thing to say, right? So we think, you know, it's a different year, but what's going to make it a different year? In other words, what's going to make it a better year? And I really thought about this, and as I was praying about it, I really just came to three things that I really wanted to share with you that I personally practice these things. And I believe, in fact, I would say I know, these things will make 2026 a more blessed year. I think it will make it a better year. And so I want to share these things with you. But number one is this. So take these notes down. Think, I want you to take what we're talking about today and contemplate it, because I really think it's not a sermon. I don't have a sermon today. We're just talking. Like, this is Jan and I's home. I wanted to welcome you into our home. And we're just chatting. And I'm sitting in my chair. And I'm glad you're here. So it's not a sermon, just a chat. But I want you to think about these things, because I know these things will help you. And I do know that if you implement these things, you're going to have a more blessed year. I can't make any promises about a lot of things, about, are you going to have more money? I don't know. Are you going to be happier? I don't know. But I believe you will have more joy, more contentment, and more fulfillment. And I think for me, that's a more blessed year. And so write these down. Number one, I think if you're going to have a good year, you need to clarify your focus. And here's what I mean. Like, this world bombards us, like, with ideas. Marketing bombards us with, oh, you need this car, or you need to go on this trip, or you need this bracelet. I mean, we just came through Christmas and we bought a bunch of stuff because people, whether it's on Instagram or people on the TV, told us that was the cool thing or the best thing or the right thing or whatever the case may be. And marketing and culture bombards us with ideas about what would make it a good year, what would make it a bad year. But I just want to give you this idea that if you're going to have a blessed year, then I think you need to clarify your focus. And here's what I mean by this. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision. Please notice that is prophetic vision. And I like this version, this is the ESV, because it says prophetic vision. And I like to make that distinction, because you can have a vision for your life. But the question is, what is God's vision for your life? See, prophetic vision is vision that comes from God. And to me, I think this is where a good year starts. Like, what is, I mean, just ask yourself this question. What is God's vision for my life this year? What is God's vision for my family this year? What is God's vision for my marriage this year? What is God's vision concerning purpose or calling? Like, what is it God wants to do in and through my life this year? Because to me, this right here, that idea of just knowing or having more clarity about what God wants to do in and through our lives, it's an incredible filter. And I think that's what vision is. Vision kind of becomes a filter. I remember one time, I can't remember where Jan and I were. We were trying on sunglasses. It's a thing you do. I don't know if we were in an airport somewhere. And they had these really funky glasses, and they were like, they had red lenses. I don't know if you've ever tried, you know, something stupid. Anyway, it's dumb. Anyways, but I do this kind of stuff. It's just who I am. And so, you know, she's like being very serious. We're looking for, you know, cool glasses. And I put on these goofy looking red glasses, and we get a laugh. But the truth was, when I put on the glasses with the red lenses, what happened? Well, everything had a red tint to it. See, I think this is what vision does in our lives. When we have a vision that comes from God, it tints everything. In other words, it gives us a little bit different view. It shades everything. I think God and his truth, his word, his vision, I think he wants to shade every part of our lives. Sometimes we're like, well, you know, God just wants to shade the religious part of my life, if you will. No, God wants to give you a way to see your marriage. God wants a way to see your kids, your family. God wants you a way to see your work. Like he wants to influence how you see everything. See, vision, I think, successful years, blessed years, begin with a vision that comes from God. I think there are three visions for your life. God has a vision. We're talking about that. Sometimes we have our own vision. And then I know this too, maybe you never thought about this. Satan has a vision for your life. And so there are actually three visions for your life, right? And when we go to God and we get a vision from him, it produces some things in our life that allows us to live a life. Because I don't know. Here's what I found. If I live my vision, that's not a very blessed life. If I live Satan's vision for my life, that's just really bad. Like sometimes we just need to articulate the fact that Satan has a plan for your life. Just like God has a plan for your life, Satan has a plan for your life. Kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus comes that we might have life. And that we might have it abundantly. I mean, these are visions of our life. And so when I get a God vision for my life, it gives me, here's what vision does. It gives me direction. Like when I can see what God wants to do in my life, it kind of tells me the way that I need to move. It helps me make decisions. Like this is the biggest thing. Like what we were talking about, how those lenses filter, like those red lenses filter. Well, vision becomes a filter for decisions. Like when Jen and I have to make a decision, it's like, hey, what's God's vision for our marriage? Hey, what's God's vision for our finances? What's God's vision for our time? And so when we have a vision that comes from God, then we're able to make decisions with more clarity, I feel like. Vision also determines relationships. It was said one time, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And when I know the direction I need to go and I know the vision that God wants for my life, it helps me decide the people that I should be hanging out with. Because if they're going in a different direction than the direction God wants to take me, I probably shouldn't spend a lot of time with them. They may be wonderful people, but I need to be around some people that are moving in the same direction that God's wanting to take me. And then also vision, another kind of way they filter the way we see things. Vision provide values, if you think about it. Like when I know what God wants to do in my life, like we talk about how God wants to use us to expand his kingdom. Well, there's a kingdom ethic and there are kingdom values, the values of loving others, the values of serving others. And so vision gives me direction. It helps me make decisions. Vision helps me understand the people that I need to spend time with. And also vision helps me understand values. See, clear vision, I believe, greatly, greatly impacts and influences the year that we're going to have. And if we're going to have the blessed year ever, if you will, then we have to start with clear vision. So clarify your focus. Number two is invest in yourself. But let me qualify that. Because we live in a culture where everybody's about investing in ourselves. Like, I want to go on this trip. I want to have this thing. I want to get this done. I want to do this. And those things may not be inherently bad. But when I'm talking about investing in yourself, let me qualify it this way. Invest in yourself in a way that brings you closer to God's plan for you and God's heart for you. In other words, I think if I'm going to be who God created me to be, I have to invest in myself. But that's not necessarily a vacation or a massage or getting my hair done or whatever the case may be. Investing in myself in a way that produces my God-given identity, that brings me towards God's heart for me, that moves me towards God's purpose for me. And so when we're talking about investing in ourselves, we're talking about really, hey, God has a plan for you, but here's what I want you to understand. God created us to be human beings, not human doings. And I believe the secret to living a fulfilled life is stepping into the purpose God has for you. But in order for me to step into the purpose God has for me, I have to become the person that God created me to be. And so I believe being precedes doing. God made us human beings. So when I'm talking about investing yourself, I'm not just talking about doing something fun. I'm not talking about going on a vacation. Nothing wrong with those things. But I'm talking about, what do you need to add into your life? What do you need in your life that's going to produce the God result, that's going to produce the God-given identity, that's going to move you closer to God's heart for him? And I have some ideas, okay? So let me give you a couple of spiritual ideas. And these are not rocket science at all, but I, as a pastor, I've been doing this a long, long time. I've been a Christian a long, long time, and I've been a pastor a long, long time. And as simple as these may sound, many people, don't do them consistently, and they don't get the benefit of that. And so I just want to challenge you with this. So let me give you a couple kind of spiritual things and then kind of a natural thing, if you will. And this is kind of how I think in my life. Like, I go into the year, how do I need to invest in myself spiritually to move me closer to who God wants me to be? And then, are there some natural things just in the natural that I need to do or change that's going to help move me towards who God wants me to be? So let me give you this. So on the spiritual side, okay, number one is daily time with God. I know. It's not a question of do you know, it's a question of do you do, right? Listen, we talk to pastors, and I tell this to pastors. Hey, guys, I know you know the Bible. I know you pray. I know you know the Lord, but do you have daily time with God? One of the reasons we wanted to do this video here in my house. So this is a big chair. This is my chair. I'm a big guy, so I need a big chair. And so, but this is the chair I sit in every day. Every morning, I get up, I go make coffee, I come in here, I sit down my coffee, I sit down in the chair with my Bible, and I read the Bible and I pray. Jana sits right here on the couch next to me. She'll come in, she gets her stuff. Now, she gets up early and exercises before quiet time. This doesn't happen with me. I don't believe in that business. I've prayed about her. She's just one of those special, special people that can wake up and move. I wake up and I don't even like to move. I'm trying to get from the bedroom to my chair, because until Jesus and I have talked, I just don't even have strength for the day. Come on, are you with me? Where are my people at? So anyways, I'll sit here, she'll sit there. We have our time with the Lord. She reads and prays, I read and pray. And then she'll come over, and the reason we got this big chair, she'll come over and sit with me in this chair, and we pray together over the day. And so I want to encourage you, number one, have daily time with God. But number two, if you're a married couple, make time daily just to pray together. And you don't have to do it in the mornings. I understand we're in the empty nest phase of life, so we don't have kids that we have to get ready and get to school. I understand that can change things. But you can find a time in your routine. And here's the secret of this. So I just want to tell you, I think everyone should have time with God. That's the only way to have the most blessed year ever. But I think married couples, listen to me. I was reading a statistic the other day, and the divorce rate inside the church, we all know, is about 50%. There's another statistic I read the other day, the divorce rate among pastors will now reach 50%. But spouses who pray together, the divorce rate, 1%. Think about that. Spouses who pray together regularly, the divorce rate goes from a possible 50% to 1%. And so I just want to encourage you. I think it's the greatest thing you can do for your marriage. And let me just help you, kind of cheat code here. Janet comes and sits with me. We don't spend 4 hours here. I don't call fire down from heaven. We don't offer burnt sacrifice. Like, I think sometimes we make this really, really complicated. We sit down. Now, I usually know what's going on with the kids, or what's going on with her parents or my parents, or she knows what's going on with the church. I know what's going on with the church staff, those type of things. So typically we know those things. But if I feel like I'm not clear or not clear, I may say, hey, is there anything you know about, or anything you think we should pray about? And so that kind of helps. But we'll just sit down and, like, we kind of know what's going on with the kids and the parents and our lives, the staff, the elders, the church. And honestly, she sits here and we pray. That prayer probably lasts, I would say, probably 3 to 5 minutes. So if you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're so spiritual, they're dancing around the living room and having worship and calling fire down from heaven, that's just not our personalities. If that's you and you need a streamer and a banner, God bless you. But we're not those people. And so we just take some time. My point is, hey, men, my point is this. Pray with your spouse, and let me give you the cheat code. Just simply say, hey, honey, what's on your heart today? And she'll give you two or three things. Pray for those two or three things. Go about your day. It will change your life. Help you have the most blessed year ever. So spend time with God, and then stay planted in a church. And you're like, well, yeah, the pastor's going to say that. You know why I'm going to say that? Because it works. Like, yes, I'm a pastor, and I think you should go to church. But I've given my life to this. But the reason I think you should go to church, because I've observed people who, and let me say it this way, not show up occasionally, not attend randomly, but people who stay planted in a church they always are more blessed. Just going to be honest with you. And you want to know why? Because the Bible says so. Psalm 92:13 says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Now, guys, I know we don't really like that word flourish. Sometimes that kind of sounds like a girl word. But you can put thrive. The same word, right? If you want to translate it, thrive, it'd be fine. But those who are planted in the house of God thrive. Those who are planted in the house of God flourish, right? This text, the verse earlier, likens these who are planted in the house of the Lord to a date palm, to palms or palm trees. And the date palm is an incredible tree. It has a lot of significance. But the date palm in particular, think about this. Number one, it is unaffected by seasons throughout the year. Seasons don't impact the tree. So it doesn't go dormant. It is unaffected by seasons. It is also one of the most fruitful trees in that it will produce fruit for 100 years. And in that 100 years, it will produce up to 3 tons of fruit. So when he's given this picture, those who are planted in the house of the Lord thrive. Here's what he's saying. You're going to be unaffected by seasonal changes. In other words, you're going to be steady, you're going to be stable, right? And you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be more fruitful than all the other trees. And so I just want you to think about the power of that when we're talking about staying planted in church. So spiritually, time with God, pray with your spouse, and get planted in a church. You know, I give this challenge frequently, and I call it my 40 weekend challenge, okay? And I don't know why the Lord spoke this to me years and years ago, and I just started talking about it, but I told Pathway people, and I'll tell you, if you'll give Pathway Church 40 weekends out of the year. Now, there are 52 weekends. That literally means you can miss almost 3 months of church, which to me is wild, right? But if you will give Pathway Church 40 weekends, at the end of that 40 weeks, or that 40 weekends, your life will not be the same. And here's what I've had time and time again. I'll never forget, a lady sent me an email. It was a really nice email. And she said, Pastor, I just didn't believe you. And she said, you know, I think she was in First Step. And they had talked about the 40 weekend challenge. And she said, I just thought, okay, I just want to see. Like, I like it here. I like the pastor. I like the staff. I like the church. I'll just see. And so she said, this is what her email said. She said, I'm now 20 weekends in to my 40 weekends this year. And my life is completely different. So I'm telling you, it works. So spiritually, time with God, pray with your spouse, get planted in the house of God. And then naturally, I see this posted, people say, well, my toxic habit is, and they have a toxic habit, whatever, Oreos after 9 o'clock, whatever that is. My toxic habit really honestly is chocolate, y'all. I just love it. I think the Lord blesses it. I don't really understand it, but it's holy unto the Lord. Chocolate is a beautiful thing. And you put a little peanut butter with it, and it's revival, okay? But what I've found is we all of us have some toxic habits, okay? And it's just because we're not perfect. And I just mean, in other words, we have a habit that is moving us more away from who God wants us to be than toward who God wants us to be. That's what I mean by a toxic habit, okay? My point is this. So naturally, this year, could you change a habit? It's been said, we make our habits, and then our habits make our life. Or we make our habits, and then our habits make us. I think that was John Dryden, who was a poet a few hundred years ago. We make our habits, and then our habits make us. So my point is, could you change a habit? In other words, could you identify one, we'll call it a toxic habit, a habit that moves us away from who God wants us to be, and could you break that habit? And then could you identify, or could you make or create one new habit? That new habit could be daily time with God. That new habit could be praying with your spouse. That new habit could be attending church regularly, frequently, regularly. Because I understand some people may go every Easter and they say, I regularly go every Easter, but we'll say frequently and regularly. My point is, you know, whatever it may be, if you could identify one habit that moves you away from who God wants you to be, that is not good for you, whether that's your health, whether that's your psyche, whether that's your body? And then could you identify one habit that moves you closer to who God wants you to be and change those two habits? I'm telling you, that would bring you to a more blessed year. So real quick, clarify your focus, invest in yourself in a way that moves you closer to God. And then the last one is just live on purpose. In fact, I would say it this way, serve a bigger purpose. Here's why. You know why I think that you read these statistics and Americans are less happy, more depressed, more lonely? I'm going to tell you why. It's because they don't serve a bigger purpose than themselves. We have become an individualized, egocentric, self-centric culture. And it's all about me, mine, and my, right? And it's all about what I want to be, and what I want to identify as, and what I feel, and all these things. And you just look at how that's affecting the soul, if you will, of America. And the reality is, the Bible tells us we were created on purpose for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So I want you to think about what Paul just said there. He said, before God created you, he created works for you to walk in, and they were good works. And so God always starts with purpose and then creates people, right? So God started with a purpose, then he came back here and created you. And when we walk in that purpose, we experience fulfillment. So I want you to think about this. If God created you for purpose, the only way of fulfillment is when you step into that purpose. You can try to find fulfillment in everything else and it won't work. But when you step into what God created you for, then you step into fulfillment. And here's what I know God created us all for. God created us all to serve. He created us all to bring or expand the kingdom of God. And the way we expand the kingdom of God is we serve. We get involved. So in other words, when we walk in purpose, when we serve others, when we serve God, right, essentially, we're going to experience fulfillment. And I know everybody's like, oh, you're the pastor guy and you're telling me to join the serve team. Yes. And you know why I'm telling you to join the serve team? Because it works. Like, I don't know why we want to disqualify it just because we don't like it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't like what you're saying, so I don't want to do it. Okay, well, you don't have to do it, but I'm telling you how to have the blessed year ever. And you can trust someone that's got tons of experience and lived it for years and years and years. Or you can say, well, I don't want to do those things, and you just won't have the blessed year ever. So my point is, don't disqualify it just because it rubs your flesh the wrong way. Don't disqualify it because you're like, I don't want to do that. I'm telling you, listen, this is how you have the blessed year ever. We were created to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We were created to serve a bigger purpose. In fact, I have some statistics about people who serve and people who give. Okay, here's the statistics. This is incredible. Number one, serving positively impacts your health. Like, this is a study. I read a couple of studies and I kind of combined all that. But listen to this. People who serve, in other words, they're involved in altruistic campaigns or ideas. In other words, they're doing things that benefit other people, right? They're giving, they're serving, they're volunteering, all those things. People who do that, their blood pressure lowers. By statistics say their blood pressure is lower, their risk of heart disease is lower, and their health actually increases. So statistically, think about this though. If God made us to serve, like Jesus, I mean, he came and took the form of a servant. He gives us an example. He washes the disciples' feet and he said, this is the example. Not that we go washing feet, but that we actually serve other people. Think about this. If God created us to serve, then there's going to be psychological, physiological impacts that are positive concerning serving. So one is your health gets better. And then there's a 26% reduction in premature death for those who serve and give. Isn't that crazy? Like, you'll have a longer life and a healthier life. And then serving positively impacts your mental health. This was crazy. But when we serve, I read this study, when we serve, it increases oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins. Now, most of you are familiar with those, but in case you're not, oxytocin is a bonding and trust-building chemical in our body, essentially, right? And so, in other words, when you serve with people, you experience a bond with people and a trust with people, which actually, and I'll give you this in just a minute, it actually counteracts the idea of loneliness. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And so, in other words, when we trust, we bond. That's why I love for husband and wives to serve together, like serving kids together, serve as ushers together, serve as greeters together, find places to serve together, because there's a bonding there and there's a trust building there. It's just healthy. Dopamine is the reward center. So think about this. When you do something good for someone, the brain actually releases dopamine, which is your reward chemical. It makes you feel better. It's the pleasure center. It's like, oh, that was pleasant. That was nice. Oh, I like that. Right? So when we serve dopamine, serotonin boosts your mood. Like if you got, you know, if you have a bad mood, hey, serve somebody, help somebody, encourage somebody, give, and it will boost your mood. And then endorphins actually reduce pain and stress. So think about the way God designed us is to be like Christ, who took the form of a servant. When we're like Christ, we take the form of a servant. We experience all these things that are powerful because it's the way God made us. Also, serving lowers depression, decreases feelings of loneliness. They did a study. 88% of people in the study said after they served, volunteered, gave, that their feeling of loneliness decreased significantly. So 88% of those people. And overall, it increases well-being. So this is my point. My point is this. You want to have the most blessed year ever? Well, it's going to take focus that comes from God, a vision that comes from God, clarity that comes from God, right? It's going to mean that we get involved and invest in ourselves in a way intentionally that moves us closer to who God created us to be, and that we get involved in something bigger than ourselves. Now, I think that's the church, obviously. We serve a bigger purpose. Like, I think everyone should be on a serve team. I think everyone should volunteer. I think everyone should give. Why? Because it's what God created us to do. Right? You're like, a lot of times I talk to people all the time, well, I don't know what I'm here. I don't know my purpose. I understand that. But here's what I can tell you. You're here to expand the kingdom, and we have a way you can get started expanding the kingdom right now. Like at our church, we're about to add a third service. We have plenty of opportunity for you to expand the kingdom. Get involved, right? Find a place to serve. Find a place to volunteer. Become a giver and watch how it changes, like not only you spiritually, but physically, right? Listen, by the way, I am so excited about this year. 2025 was a good year. It really was. It was a year where we saw 33 people accept Christ. Now, I should qualify that. That's 33 people that completed cards. So in our service, you've been to our service, we have a lot of people that raise hands, and we appreciate that, and we pray with those people. And that probably was very significant, and many times that was probably salvation. But we typically do not count them unless we actually get a name that we know this person truly had a conversion experience where they accepted Christ. So we had 33 people that we know accepted Christ, even though there are probably many more. And then we had 41 people baptized this year. That's a good year. We were able to give over $200,000 away to missions and outreach and single moms and ministries inside of Longview and ministries around the world. It was a good year. 2026, I believe, is going to be our blessed year ever, our best year ever. I want you to have your blessed year ever. And here's what I know. If you clarify your focus, right? If you just simply clarify your focus, if you invest in yourself moving closer to God, and if you serve a bigger purpose, you live on purpose, you will have your blessed year ever. I'm so excited about all that God is doing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Janet, I love you. We're praying for you. And I can't wait to see you at our first service coming up in just a few days in 2026. God bless you. Happy New Year.